Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're digging into Bristol-Myers Squibb's second quarter 2026 results, reported Thursday morning. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And Bristol-Myers Squibb shares were up nearly 2.8% on the news, so investors clearly liked what they heard. Let's get into the numbers.
Total revenue for second quarter came in around $13 billion, up 5% year-over-year. The headline story here is what they call the growth portfolio. That's their newer drugs, now making up almost 60% of total revenue, growing 14%. 10 different products posted double-digit growth.
That's the story management really wants you to hear. They're successfully transitioning away from legacy products losing patent protection toward newer assets. And the standouts were impressive. Reblozyl up 29%, Breyanzi up 41%, Camzyos up 59%, and Kvanig, the newer version of their big cancer drug Opdivo, now annualizing over $1 billion.
Meanwhile, on the legacy side, Eliquis, their blood thinner, actually grew 21% on strong demand, which helped offset declines elsewhere from generic competition, especially as Revlimid keeps facing generics.
Diluted EPS was $2.04 for the quarter, and gross margin held at 71.4%. And because of this strength, management raised full-year guidance for both revenue and adjusted EPS.
They also raised their Eliquis growth expectation for the year to 20-25% and said the overall legacy portfolio decline will be less severe than previously thought, now 4-6% instead of worse.
Balance sheets solid too. $11.5 billion in cash, $3.4 billion in operating cash flow for the quarter, and they paid down $1.2 billion in debt. So they've got room to keep investing.
Now, let's talk strategy, because there's a lot happening on the pipeline side. CEO Chris Boerner talked about the company potentially launching more than 10 new medicines by the end of the decade, plus over 30 life cycle management opportunities.
The near-term catalyst everyone's watching is iberdomide. That's their CLMOD, a new class of oral drug for multiple myeloma. It has an FDA decision date of August 17th, so basically 2 weeks after this call. If approved, it'd be the first commercialized CLMOD ever.
And there's a second one right behind it, mezigdomide, which just got its FDA application accepted with a target decision date of May 2027. Management's pretty bullish these two drugs, along with a third one called galcatamide, could eventually replace older myeloma standards like Revlimid and Pomalyst.
But here's the more nuanced part of the call. Two of their biggest pipeline bets just got delayed. Milvexian, a next-generation blood thinner they're developing with Johnson & Johnson. Wait, actually it's with partners on the anticoagulant side. Competing against their own Eliquis franchise, its atrial fibrillation trial readout got pushed from late 2026 to first quarter 2027.
And separately, Cobenfy, their schizophrenia drug that they're also testing in Alzheimer's-related psychosis. Those readouts are now expected to start in early 2027 instead of this year.
Now, management was pretty insistent both delays are actually good news in disguise. For Milvexian, it's an event-driven trial, meaning they need a certain number of stroke and bleeding events to occur before they can read the data. Fewer events happening means the drug might be working better than expected. Chief Medical Officer Christian Massacesi even pointed out that a competitor's similar trial got stopped early for going the wrong direction. So BMS continuing means the independent safety monitors aren't seeing red flags.
For Cobenfy and Alzheimer's, they said the slower pace is partly about being extra careful on trial quality after some past phase 3 setbacks in the industry, not a sign the drug isn't working.
Analysts on the call pushed hard on this, understandably. Delays make people nervous. But CFO David Elkins was clear the guidance raise wasn't dependent on any of these pipeline bets. It's coming from the existing in-market growth portfolio and Eliquis strength.
One more interesting nugget. Bristol also has a big readout coming this year for Admilprint, a potential first-in-class drug for pulmonary fibrosis, competing in a market that could double from around $4 billion to $8 to $10 billion by the mid-2030s as better treatments arrive.
And they mentioned new partnerships with Anthropic and NVIDIA to expand AI use in drug discovery, helping scientists understand disease biology, design molecules faster, and make go/no-go decisions earlier.
So, stepping back, what does this mean for investors? The near-term story is genuinely strong. Revenue growing, guidance raised, a diversified growth portfolio doing the heavy lifting while legacy drugs decline. That's exactly the transition management promised a few years ago, and it's playing out.
The bigger question is really about 2027 and beyond. You've got two major pipeline readouts, Milvexian and Cobenfy in Alzheimer's, pushing in next year, and a lot of investor patience is riding on those actually delivering. Plus, Eliquis faces a real cliff. Patent expiration in April 2028. So the company needs Milvexian and the CLMOD franchise to be ready to fill that gap.
In the meantime, keep an eye on that August 17th iberdomide decision. That's the most concrete near-term catalyst, and a green light there would validate their whole protein degradation platform strategy.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Bristol's showing real execution discipline right now, but the next 12 months of trial readouts will tell us whether this pipeline can actually replace what's aging out. We'll be watching the August PDUFA date and the third quarter numbers closely.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time as more of these earnings calls roll in.
Take care, and we'll see you next episode.